Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:30 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 7th. And this was a big day for Mario Draghi because not least because we've had a big move in the euro over the course of the year to date. And it surmounted the 120 area in here today. So that is reasserting its upward trend that's been in evidence since almost the 1st of January. That also constituted a failed downside break, and then it got right up to 115 and broke on the upside, and it continues to assert that advance. What I find particularly interesting are a number of charts related to the euro. I think the first is that when we think about what it is that the ECB is doing, then they certainly took over the reins for their own monetary policy at the beginning of 2015. The Fed stopped adding liquidity in January of 2015, and the size of their balance sheet has been pretty staid since. But when we look at, for example, the size of the ECB's balance sheet, they had taken €1 trillion out of circulation, and then they put double that back in, around the beginning of 2015. What they had been relying on previously were swap lines with the Fed, and with the Fed ending its quantitative easing program, then they took over control of it themselves and have just printed in an aggressive manner for more than 2 years already. What we heard today from the ECB president, and I think the question and answer session that followed the press conference or the news release is perhaps more interesting than the release itself. Two things that really sprung out drew my attention at least were, on the one hand, that they are looking at the strength of the euro and they're thinking, well, perhaps that is something that we need to be paying attention to. But the more important point was that they said nothing about what they're going to do to stop the euro from advancing. So they're alert to it. Certainly the rather impressive advance the euro has had is obviously going to be have an impact both on stock markets but also on the export competitiveness of countries like Germany. But of course Germany is doing so well against a background of synchronized global economic expansion that it can probably tolerate the strength of the euro, and that is probably something that the ECB is alert to as well. But it was one of his closing remarks that really sprung out to me, which was that he said there are no, and he was very clear in saying no, negative effects from quantitative easing. He said there's no evidence of negative effects from quantitative easing, and that negative interest rates might have some negative effects, but they are far outweighed by the positive effects in helping to stoke economic growth within the eurozone. The ECB is very proud of the growth that it has helped to achieve within the eurozone. But I think that the coincidence of this massive monetary accommodation in buying that growth can't be overlooked. It is only when they stop adding that liquidity and the economy continues to grow that we could have a real conclusion that this is still a very benign environment. So I think that is something that is really worth considering here. Then when we look at the Euro Stoxx index, this is the broad Eurozone index. It has been pulling back over the last few months, and we can see also that the strength of the euro from the beginning of this year acted as a tailwind. It's acted more as a headwind when the euro broke up and out of that more than 2 year range. But this is an index that has been coming back slower than it advanced. It is back in an area of support represented by the region of the trend mean. We can quite easily rationalize that we could have had a somewhat lengthier pullback in the region of the 2015 high, and as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The German DAX index is also finding support in the region of its trend mean. If we look at, for example, the Portuguese market, because that was one that was right back testing its lows really not that long ago, it is finding now that it has had its first consolidation following what was a pretty impressive advance from the beginning of this year. This now the the trend mean has turned upwards. It's back in the region of that mean. And if we look at that on a 10-year basis, we can see just how depressed this market is. And I think that that's important, that it isn't simply that the strongest markets are performing here, or the big large cap companies represented by the Euro stocks, but that some of these smaller economies are also back on a growth footing. But against that background, I think it is worth also keeping an eye on what's happening with German Bunds, because the Bund has been the yield has been contracting for much of the last few weeks. It is now back testing the trend mean and testing close to the lower side of the range that's been developing for just about all of this year so far. This is a natural area where one would anticipate that the yield would find support, or that we would begin to see a return to supply dominance. But what one of the things that Mario Draghi did not talk about today was what they're going to do when they run out of bonds to buy, considering that they are allocating their purchases based on the size of the respective economies within the Eurozone, and they have already amassed a considerable number of bunds. The question, of course, is then what's going to happen when they completely dominate the market? And they had a very glib answer, which is that they will that they believe that their structure is suitable enough and flexible enough that they'll be able to continue to add liquidity. What I find particularly interesting is that the euro is rallying now based on the growth returning to the eurozone, but there is a 125 basis point yield differential between the euro and the dollar. People are looking increasingly like the dollar is a currency that can possibly rally, but it is really quite oversold. The euro is continuing to go up, but it is becoming increasingly overbought. Therefore, I think that this is the key time to keep a very close eye on these currencies, because when we do eventually get some evidence of the dollar finding support, then there is the likelihood that it could have a really quite an impressive reversionary rally. But as long as the dollar remains reasonably weak, then that's positive for gold prices. And gold has continued to hold this move above $1,300, and it was up again in here today, but not in a dynamic manner, but certainly up. And it is looking increasingly likely that it will get back up towards those highs that we saw last year. But this continues to look like a big first step above the Type 2 base that was completed at the beginning of 2016. That could set up gold for a cyclical bull market, and a cyclical bull market could see it breaking up and away from this rather lengthy, really quite volatile range. Whether we're going to see 10 consecutive years of upside for the gold price is another question entirely. I think that that is quite unlikely, but that if gold prices are cyclical and cyclical sectors are rallying, then we could have an impressive cyclical bull market. And silver prices are also firming here, and they're pulling away from the region of the trend mean. They've now broken the progression of lower rally highs, and it is continuing to look like a support building phase, following what has been really quite a volatile environment for much of the last 18 months. Platinum is making heavy weather of sustaining the move above $1,000. I saw articles today talking about quite a bit of supply coming into the market, and that would certainly explain its underperformance relative to both gold and silver. Meanwhile, palladium has been the leading performer in the precious metal markets, but it was in negative territory yesterday because it has got right up to that psychological $1,000 level, and it's a natural area for some profit taking to start to come through here, and not least because it has become so overextended relative to the trend mean and accelerated away from the progression of higher reaction lows. So I think we're in for some consolidation in the palladium price, but I think that's probably all it's likely to be. It's just some consolidation. And copper prices were also mildly in positive territory in here today and have continued to extend this breakout from what was a very well-defined range for much of this year. So we continue to be in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and the commodity sector is leveraged to economic growth globally. So we're seeing that that is coming off of a, I think, coming out of what was a lengthy ranging phase, 7 or 8 months, all the way from the end of last year until really quite recently. Generally speaking, when you get a period of synchronized global economic expansion, it's when central banks begin to talk about what they're going to do about the low interest rate environment, and that's exactly what we're starting to see. But they're also very conscious of the fact that they have done rather extraordinary things in terms of monetary policy, and the central bank balance sheets, if you aggregate those of the USA, the Eurozone, the UK, Japan and China, then you're talking about $20 trillion in central bank balance sheets. And to say that that has not had a negative effect on asset prices is really quite profound, that central banks think that there is no danger at all. And I find that worrisome, because obviously when you're continuing to add to that liquidity, then that's not going to provide the catalyst for a problem. It is only when the flood of money stops or begins to roll over that you will see when problems arise. Now, there is very little evidence of that flood of liquidity changing anytime soon. The ECB is still in a quantitative easing environment. The UK is still providing ample liquidity to the markets, and the Bank of China is, excuse me, the Bank of Japan is doing something similar, and the People's Bank of China is I think giving with one hand, taking with the other, but it is not really tightening. So when you aggregate it all, you still have an uptrend, and as long as that monetary largesse is continuing to trend upwards, then central bankers will have no problem in concluding that we are still in a benign environment and that there is no negative connotation from quantitative easing. That's despite the fact that there is increasing evidence of a bubble evolving in the bond markets, that asset prices continuing to be flattered by the surge in liquidity. But of course, then that's where we have the contradiction. And when you have a contradiction in markets, that's also, generally speaking, once you can identify what it is, you know what the catalyst for the next crisis is likely to be. So monitoring what central banks do, and most particularly what the size of what their balance sheets are doing, is likely to be one of the most productive things that any of us can do. But in the meantime, we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think that that is perhaps the most important factor, that once we can identify what the problems are likely to be, then we ask ourselves, well, is the problem clear and present? And it might be an easily identifiable problem, but it is not a clear and present danger, either today or even for the next couple of months. So if that is indeed the case, then these remain generally consistent advances with really quite mediocre pullbacks or modest pullbacks, and as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean during somewhat larger pullbacks, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And we are also seeing that European markets have pulled back to the mean and they're now bouncing, that a number of emerging markets are breaking up out of really quite lengthy ranges, that there is always something to worry about. And certainly what's happening between North Korea and all of its neighbors is something that a lot of people are increasingly worrying about, because you have this added black, I think, wild card of nuclear weapons, and that's not something that one can be too glib about. But at the same time, when markets are not pricing in any risk, then That is also something that we have to be aware of, that there is a risk, and just because there is nobody pricing it in, that only that would amplify the response if in fact this situation were to deteriorate. So even though markets are still in consistent trends, and I don't see any reason that one would have to question that, then we also have to be alert to what the actual risks might be. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.